Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 3. As you find 2 Corinthians chapter 1, think on this. While the saying, what goes around comes around, generally does have that negative sense about it, can it also be positive? Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 3. Paul writes to the Corinthians and to us, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also are you are sharers of our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also joining and helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many." In the book Boundaries, written with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud tells the story of a group therapy session he led. The session was very quiet at this point. Dr. Cloud said, "I just asked Janice an unanswerable question. The question was, what do you need?" She looked confused, became thoughtful, and sat back in her chair. Janice had just described a week of painful loss. Her husband had made moves to separate. Her kids were out of control, and her job was in jeopardy. The concern on the faces of the group members, who were all working on issues of attachments and safety, was evident. Yet no one knew quite how to help, so when I asked the question, I was asking for all of us, but Janice couldn't answer. This was typical of her background. She'd spent most of her childhood taking responsibility for her parents' feelings. The peacekeeper of the house, she was always smoothing over the ruffled feathers of either parent with soothing words. The result of such unbiblical responsibility toward her family was clear in Janice's life. A sense of over-responsibility for others and a lack of attunement toward her own needs. Janice's radar had been out for the hurts of others, but the radar pointed her way was broken. It was no wonder she couldn't answer my question. Janice didn't understand her own God-given legitimate needs. She had no vocabulary for this thinking. What would you answer to the question, what do you need? We've all suffered pain. We've all suffered loss. As we observe this first Sunday of Advent, as we celebrate the coming of Christ into our world, what do you need? What do you need? You may be suffering pain even today, even anguish over some hurt. What do you need? The follower of Christ realizes comfort and hope comes only from Christ to meet your needs and others' needs. What do you need? What you need is to find your comfort and hope only in Christ. Where do you look for help when to deal with the hurts in your life? After a typical salutation, Paul sets into saying a good word about God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says that he is the Father of Jesus, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Paul was grateful to God, even though evidently he had seen so much suffering, he looked like death. He had suffered so much, maybe he looked like death warmed over. You know, that's what we say, make it be that much over, much worse. Three times in three verses, he mentions afflictions. It's the idea of being crushed. It's the idea of being broken. And in verse 8, he spoke of thinking life was over. But the source of his suffering was for the cause of Christ. What is the source of your suffering? He had experienced physical pain due to beatings, due to stonings, due to imprisonment. He had also suffered emotionally, particularly as the Corinthians turned away from him. But Paul praises God because of the mercy, because of the comfort, because of the encouragement he has received from the Lord. Comfort, encouragement is abundant in Christ. In Christ alone do we find the things that we really need. Life is tough. Life is hard. But in Christ we have comfort. In Christ we have encouragement. In Christ we have hope. And so he praises him. Where are you looking? Paul learned to look to Christ, to God who raises the dead, for comfort, for encouragement, for hope. Paul had set his hope in Christ. I have likened hope, the hope only Christ offers, to a ski rope attached to a boat. Anybody besides me ever skied in their, water skied in their life? Two, three, four, eight, or ten of us. I do want to say this, that I used to be able to water ski. Not anymore. I'm too old for that. I proved that back in September, but anyway. You're there in the water. You've got your life jacket on, so you're safe, but you're not going anywhere, and you want to go somewhere. The skis are on your feet, but you're dead in the water. How will you get up on top of the water? How will you go? The power of the boat needs to become your power. And the only way that happens is through the rope or by the rope. As the boat takes off, you take off. So what you need comes to you from the boat via the rope. Hang on to it. Hang on to the hope only in Christ. And so this points to the difference between hope as a verb and hope as a noun. If we hope something, well, I hope it rains today, or I hope it doesn't rain today, or I hope this team wins, or I hope that team wins, but we don't know. But if we have hope, a noun, if we have hope, the hope that is in Christ Jesus, that is sure and solid and something that we can depend on. So where are you seeking what you need in life? If you feel as if you're being crushed or broken by something in life, where are you looking for help and relief? Are you seeking that from Christ? Are you seeking what you need for the hurts in life from Christ Jesus our Lord? Are you finding encouragement in Christ? Or is it in things? There's a commercial, and I've watched a few ball games in the last couple weeks, I'll admit that. Both of my teams won yesterday. What can I say? Red and orange. Yes, we like that, but anyway. But there's this commercial that comes on where the wife comes up to the husband and says, well, I got us a couple things on the Black Friday. Have you ever seen Black Friday last for a week? And every day now around Thanksgiving has a name, and I don't even know what they all are. I don't mean Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's this, it's that, it's whatever. Well, the husband says then to the wife, well, I got us a couple things too. So they go out on the driveway, and here's a brand new four-door pickup. I don't know, $45,000, $50,000. And here's a SUV-type vehicle, $55,000, $60,000. We look for our hope. We look for our comfort. We look for what we think we need too often in things. Things do cause excitement, good feelings, but for how long? A day? Until you get the bill or have to make that next payment? Maybe you're looking to substances to numb you. Why do you think we have an opioid crisis if we're not a nation, a people in pain? And I don't mean physical pain. I'm talking emotional, spiritual pain. Why is it that there's such a push to legalize marijuana in every state if we're not a people, a nation that is hurting? Where are you looking? Maybe it's new relationships. What is it you're dealing with? I don't know what you're dealing with. What's the source? But if it is because of the cause of Christ, look to Him for comfort, for encouragement, for hope. And if you're suffering because of your disobedience and rebellion, come to Christ Jesus today. Come to Him in confession and repentance. Confession, agreeing with God that you think, you're thinking that you have the answers, that you're thinking that your way is the right way, is ultimately wrong. And His Word says that He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. If you're hurting because of not knowing Christ, come to Him today. Let Him do for you what you cannot do for yourself. As we celebrate Christmas, Christmas is a time of hope, the celebration of hope. Hope that is real, hope that you can get your hands on, hope that has come, hope that is available, hope that is a person, Jesus Christ. What do you need? Let me speak for a moment to the passage of Scripture that we read at the beginning of the service. I want to read Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 again. Isaiah wrote, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." Israel had long been split into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And while Judah did last longer than Israel, both of them were spiraling out of control into bondage. They had put themselves into a hopeless situation. And Isaiah was a prophet of hope whose name literally means Jehovah saves. And so he prophesied of the coming Messiah, the Savior. And he prophesied of the hope that Jesus would bring. He spoke of the wonder of the hope Jesus would be. Look at the names the child Jesus would be called: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Everything we need, everything that our lives are crying out for, is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we celebrate His birth. We celebrate His coming. And I got to tell you the two best stories, my favorite stories in all of life. One was a fairly recent one in Reader's Digest 3 or 4 years ago. The setting was in a school, and it was a special needs class, and they were going to go somewhere, and one little boy didn't get to go, and he took off. And the teacher was right behind him. Jesus came after you. The second story is of a little boy who made a little model boat. Carved it out of wood, and he went to the lake, and the wind blew it away, and about a week later, he was in town, and he saw the boat in the window of a store, and he went in and said, "That's my boat." And the man said, "Well, it may have been at one time, but it's mine now." And the little boy went home and got his money and bought the boat back. And he went outside the store and he said, "You are mine, twice mine, Mine because I made you, and mine because I bought you back. And that is what we celebrate in Christmas. We celebrate the coming of Christ. Now let's go back to 2 Corinthians. What you need is to become a conduit of comfort and hope for others. You are to pass along the hope you have been given. Did you notice the purpose statement in verse 4? Blessed be the God who comforts us so that we may comfort others. We live in a fallen, sinful world that is hurting. And we have the hope, we have the encouragement, we have the comfort that is available in Christ Jesus. And we need to be a conduit to that. Paul came to understand his life was not just about him. His comfort and encouragement was not just to end with him. There was also another purpose for his suffering. It was to drive him to Christ, to the Father. His suffering was for the sake of the gospel, for others. Suffering was to prove God's sustaining and protecting power. Let me tell you, more than once Paul had dealt with death, the sentence of death. And he had learned not to trust himself, but God only. Paul had learned this lesson spiritually. So guess what? You do too. Comfort and encouragement are to be passed along. Where did the water come from that you drank this morning? Did it come to you as a raindrop that fell here in Franklin, here in Macon County? Might have. You could have walked out yesterday and stuck your tongue out. I bet, you know, it wouldn't have been a whole lot. But maybe that glass of water you drank this morning fell miles and miles from here. It flowed down a creek to a river to a water treatment plant. Or it may have fallen, soaked into the ground, been pumped up out of a well to your faucet. However it came, it followed, it went along a path, a pipe, a conduit from the source to you. And in the same way, are you carrying the comfort and hope and encouragement from the source, Christ, to those hurting? Are you a conduit of comfort and hope to others? Are you fulfilling this part of the purpose God has for you? Are you being a conduit of hope, of encouragement, of comfort? Or are you the Dead Sea of hope and encouragement and comfort? Every trial, every challenge you face allows God to prove himself and for you to encourage others with what God has done. Is there anything in your life that the accuser is throwing in your face to shame you, discourage you? I learned this lesson in a very painful time in my life. I had never hurt like I did at that point. And I realized that whenever I thought, whenever I let that drive me back to the cross of Christ. And you know what? The accuser said, if that's the way he's going to react, I'm going to quit making him think about that. Whatever is the source of your pain, let that drive you back to Christ, to his mercy, to his grace. So as we move toward Christmas, is Christmas about giving or getting for you? We are to give. We are to give to the Lottie Moon Missions. You know, we send people all over the world, and most of it is funded through the Lottie Moon offering. Give to White Christmas. Next couple Sundays, we're going to be able to share provisions with folks in our community within this church. And give to Angel Tree Ministry. There's still time, and there's still time to be a part of what is going to be a time of hope for these kids. Be a conduit this morning of comfort. Be a conduit of hope. Be a conduit of encouragement for others. Well, back to the story of Janice. In the group therapy, it does have a happy ending. One of the group members said, if I were in your shoes, I know what I'd need. I'd really need to know that you people in this room cared for me, that you didn't see me as a colossal, shameful failure, and that you'd pray for me and let me call you on the phone this week for support. The comfort, encouragement, and hope that is in Christ Jesus that comes around is to go around. And we have these three because God in Christ provides them for us. Are you finding comfort? Are you finding encouragement? Are you finding hope in Christ? He is the wellspring of all three. And are you willing then to meet someone else's need for them as well?